from the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, December 28th, 2023. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
You're yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Time to get this thing started the right way with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. This is a nice one. It says, a friend is someone who reaches for your hand and touches your heart. Isn't that great? Yeah. And a politician reaches for your hand and grabs your wallet.
A man who can't be bribed can't be trusted.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast, shall we?
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Big stuff.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See? All right. You've been warned. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1958, the greatest game ever played. The Baltimore Colts defeated the New York Giants in the first ever National Football League sudden death overtime game at New York's Yankee Stadium to win the NFL championship. Yeah, that's right. Back in those days, the NFL didn't have their own stadiums. And back in those days, the NFL was a much more humble organization. And on this day in 1973, the United States Endangered Species Act was signed into law by President Nixon. And recently added to the list are the few remaining honest politicians.
Staggers the imagination.
What I'm about to tell you here shouldn't surprise you any. You already know this, right? But a fellow by the name of B.D. Hobbs, he's one of the news writers at KTRH, which is the big conservative talk radio station in the Houston area. And the headline reads, Democrats may have a new way to steal the 2024 election. In fact, I think I wrote it that way. I plagiarized it for my teaser notes that I posted yesterday on Facebook. But Hobbs writes, with less than a year to go now until next year's critical election, the looming question is, what are the Democrats going to try to do this time to steal the election? Now, most people believe it's not a question of if, it's just a question of how. Now, election expert Jay Valentine says there's no question they're going to do it. The issue in 2024 is there's no set circumstances or set of circumstances where Trump can be allowed to win. So the Democrats are going to try to do everything they can and a lot of things that they've never done before to stop Trump from winning. See, the thing here is the left has worked themselves up into such a lather through their own propaganda. They've been scaring each other about what a Trump presidency would turn out to be. And of course, it's all BS. Every bit of it, every word of it, every shred of it is all BS. But that's what they do. They spend their lives trying to scare the crap out of everybody. Everything is fear, fear, fear. Only when you move to the right do you get any sense of positivity at all. And you see, we have all the reason in the world to be positive because the people who actually live under this government know what this government's doing to us. I mean, this whole charade about sending Mayorkas and Anthony Blinken down to Mexico to talk to the Mexican president about the immigration problem, that's nothing but a charade. Nothing's going to be accomplished down there. And every time they plunk Mayorkas ugly butt down in front of a congressional committee, he keeps maintaining, though the border is secure. The border is secure. And he says it with a straight face, which really makes me sick. If he would just smirk a little bit, I could almost tolerate that. So, anyhow, Jay Valentine, the election expert, says one of those things that they're expected to add next year is piling on new votes from some of the millions of illegals that they've purposely allowed into the country. That's what this is all about, this whole open southern border. That's done for one reason only, and that's to acquire new voters. Because they're actually going to allow illegals to vote. Non-citizens will be voting in 2024. So Valentine says it's true. They're going to do this in almost every state. There are massive influxes of new voters, And in many cases, those new voters are highly likely to be illegal voters being signed up through DMV and so forth. He says, we know that's happening. And one thing he says that's not happening, there's not enough Republican resistance and pushback for election integrity and cleaning up voter rolls. And this is what I've been bitching about for years about the Republican Party. The Republican Party will not fight. And the only hope I see for the Republican Party right now is Ronna McDaniel. Ronna Romney McDaniel is facing bribery charges, possible bribery charges up in Michigan. So maybe we can get rid of her and get somebody better in there. But then again, what are the odds of that? Because the hierarchy within the Republican Party is nothing but a good old boys and good old girls network. Basically a network of rhinos. I mean, we have to fully flush these people out of the party before we're going to see any real victories and real fight out of the right. Unfortunately, that's what it's going to take. And meanwhile, we have every shred of the mainstream media in the left's court. I don't know if you ever watch MSNBC, or as Mark Levin refers to it, MSLSD, but particularly that horrendous show in the mornings, Morning Joe. And they are so shrill about their catastrophic warnings about, or their warnings of catastrophe should Donald Trump be elected. I mean, it's almost comical, except for the fact that there are millions and millions of people who watch those programs. And they lap every word of that up, lock, stock, and barrel. Do you have an electric vehicle? How much is it really costing you to charge that thing up? Well, the push for electric vehicles has got out of control in recent years. However, the auto manufacturers now are cutting back on their production. In fact, a couple have already shut down completely the manufacture of electric vehicles because those vehicles aren't selling. People don't want them. And the worse the economy gets, the less they're inclined to buy an EV. So, and we all know what was behind this, you know, the government incentives, the subsidies to the auto manufacturers to build electric vehicles. In fact, the thing I fear right now is going to be a crash, a total crash of the domestic auto manufacturing business because of this. Damn politicians. Jeez. So, the reason behind this, of course, was number one, the push for going all electric by the year 2030 or sooner to fit in with this politically correct, politically skewed agenda. And we've all heard of the costs of EVs, like replacing a battery or the basic cost of the vehicle as a whole. But new studies suggest that charging the car is exorbitantly worse than just paying for gas. In total, charging the EV is the equivalent of paying $17 a gallon for gas, according to a new report. So to rub salt in the wound, you and me, taxpayers, are footing 93% of the bill to manufacture these things. Meanwhile, David Holt of the Consumer Energy Alliance says, for starters, we simply lack the wherewithal for this massive push. We never had it. We never had the desire. We just knuckled under at the frantic urging of those shrill people on the left in our government. He says the grid isn't ready. The infrastructure is not ready. Consumers aren't ready. Consumer acceptance is questionable about EVs. He says it's a lot of rush to mandate without fully thinking through what they're doing. And that's so true. I mean, this is going to turn out to be a huge national catastrophe. The report also notes that owning an average battery-powered car would cost a person about $48,000 more over a 10-year period if it weren't for the big handouts that owners get. Once those stop, and they'll stop, you get a Republican administration into the government, and eventually those handouts are going to stop. Then what? And all of this incessant nagging to go green has also put a damper on the energy sector during Biden's administration. So he says the way energy policy is being dictated, it's hurting the economy right now, causing inflation, which of course, and the price of everything to go up because of diesel fuel prices. It's very frustrating. So theories have circulated for a while now of EVs being dangerous because they can be easily shut off, such as in the case of new pandemic-like lockdowns. Just this week, a massive power outage in New England left people stuck at home with their vehicles. And then you factor in the dangerous current state of affairs in which we live.
Well, what do you mean?
What do I mean? Just turn on the news. And this whole thing smells of disaster. Another thing he warned against was an EMP attack. That would devastate all of us because we all rely on phones, computers, smart devices, cybersecurity, and other things that need to be a high priority in the weeks to come, not just months, but weeks. See, this guy, David Holt, again, he's of the Consumer Energy Alliance, seems to have his finger on the pulse of what's going on here. We're driving down a one-way street to disaster. And he says we're a nation that loves their cars and loves to drive. We do. What is it? Chevrolet had that slogan years ago. I think it was back in the 80s. You know, it's your freedom. Your car is your freedom. That's what it is. It represents our freedom to move about. We want our vehicles, but also there are those who want environmental fixes. You still have people going around who are assuming that our air is filthy. Well, our air is a bit dirty. Nothing like it was when I was growing up, I can tell you that. Before catalytic converters and emission systems on cars and industrial emission systems. Let me tell you a little story here about Houston. Used to be back, as recently as the 1970s, if you were driving into Houston in the afternoon on I-10 from east of Houston, say you were coming in from Louisiana, and you get into the Sheldon, Jacinto City, Pasadena area east of downtown Houston, the air was almost yellowish green, and you could smell sulfur, and it was being emitted from the plants in Pasadena. Because the Houston Ship Channel is lined up and down both sides with refineries, chemical plants, processing facilities. The air was absolutely filthy. But there was a huge push back in the 80s to clean it up. And they did. You don't see any of that anymore. In fact, you can drive through Pasadena and not even smell that sulfur odor anymore. So, we are making progress. But Mr. Holt says, we don't have to have these rushed mandates. We need energy choice. A market for natural gas, a market for nuclear energy again. But these EVs don't help things. He says it's just going to damage the EV market itself. And it has. Ford, Stellantis, and GM, GM in particular, has stopped manufacture of EVs. Now, for how long? I don't know. But he says that's become a typical thing for the left in this push. The harder they cry for it, the more people don't want it. It's like that, like your little kid. You deny them candy when you're at the grocery store and he throws himself down on the floor, banging on the floor with his fists and feet. And Mr. Holt adds that voting for energy-conscious candidates, regardless of political party, can help start righting the ship. And that's what we need to do. We need to vote for energy-conscious candidates. Come on, you know who they are. You would have to have been living under a rock not to understand that Tucker Carlson has made it very clear that he would not vote for Donald Trump if Donald Trump picked Nikki Haley as his VP. And now Donald Trump Jr. has expressed pretty strong opposition to the prospect of Nikki Haley being tapped as his father's running mate in the 24 presidential election, pledging to go to, quote, great lengths to prevent it. In a terrific article in Epoch Times by Caden Pearson, he says that in a recent interview, Trump Jr. declared that he wouldn't have her as the vice presidential candidate alongside his father, saying that the former president should be, should he secure the GOP nomination next year, I would go to great lengths to make sure that doesn't happen. Now, he was speaking with the team over there at Newsmax on Christmas Day. And the statement came after the outlet played video footage of Nikki Haley, you know her, former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., and she was good over there. She was good. Make no mistake about that. And a GOP presidential candidate, too, by the way. She's not doing all that well in the polling, though. But she was making critical comments about President Trump during an interview with ABC News Live Prime anchor Lindsay Davis earlier this month. And Haley said, I don't think he should be president. Donald Trump brings us chaos. You know, and I would love to argue with her on that. I don't think it's Trump that's bringing us chaos. It's the left's reaction to Donald Trump that brings us chaos. And her failure to recognize that bothers me. It's like Newton's law. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So on the right, you have somebody like Donald Trump. Anybody who's a true conservative. Doesn't have to be Donald Trump. Anybody who's a true conservative. Look how the left reacts to people like Ted Cruz. Look at how they react to people like MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia. Look at how they react to Jim Jordan of Ohio. They just get downright poisonous in their reaction. There's nothing wrong with the conservatives. You know that. The conservatives are the ones who are on the right path. Not the rhinos, but the real conservatives, the constitutional conservatives. They're the ones on the right path. And any chaos that Ms. Haley is detecting, that's surely from the left and their reaction to conservatism. So in response to the footage, Trump Jr. dismissed Haley's candidacy, accusing her of being a puppet of the Washington establishment. And boy, the way Vivek Ramaswamy pinned her ears back during that last debate. Wow. So Jr. said, I'm going to quote him here, Nikki Haley wants never-ending wars. She's a puppet of the establishment in Washington. She's the new favorite candidate of the billionaire class because they want control. No different than academia and Harvard and using, you know, their billions to exercise influence. And then taking note of Haley's rise in the polls, Trump Jr. predicted that if chosen as vice president, Haley would attempt to destroy Donald Trump from within. And I believe that. I really believe that. And he added, this is pretty good too. He says, the second she ever got that, you know, anointment, as he put it, it would be a disaster of epic proportions. So I would hope that never is on the table. And I don't think it is. So an opinion poll released this month by American Research Group shows Haley rose to within 4 points of President Trump in New Hampshire. But that's New Hampshire. And President Trump called that poll fake. The opposition to Haley's potential candidacy extends beyond Trump Jr. MTG asserting earlier this month, MAGA would revolt if Nikki Haley were to even be given an internship in Trump's next administration. I believe her. Taking to X, Green herself considered a contender for vice president. I don't think she would make it, though. She's too much a lightning rod. She characterized Haley as representing the neocon establishment of America's last wing of the Republican Party that the MAGA movement is absolutely done with. And boy, she's right on target there. So in the 2024 GOP landscape, President Trump leads nationally at 62.5%, followed by DeSantis at 11.3% and Haley at 11%. And that's per Real Clear Politics. That's an organization that does probably a better job than most others when it comes to tracking this stuff. And then you got Vivek Ramaswamy trailing behind in fourth place with just 4%. I don't quite understand that, but I think I can see where a lot of people are put off by him, which is a shame. And while Trump has kept his running mate choice under wraps, the DeSantis campaign recently launched a website, Trump Nikki 2024, which showcases comments from Ms. Haley and others suggesting her vice presidency preference over the presidency. The campaign playfully adopts the slogan, make the establishment great again, in a nod to President Trump. And I'm sorry, hate to tell Ron DeSantis this, but that's a pretty lame argument. But the website says, for years, Nikki Haley has wanted to be Donald Trump's vice president. And now she's using her 2024 candidacy to finally make her VP dream a reality by following the lead of the former president as they've combined to spend over $30 million against Ron DeSantis, all while she refuses to attack Trump. Then the website lists quotes from Haley and asserts that despite political ads attacking her candidacy, she's not criticized President Trump in ads yet. The website alleges, with Trump as the front runner, why isn't Haley spending on ads against him? The most logical explanation is that she's running for second place. Back in August, Haley acknowledged talk that she was running for the vice presidency, but dismissed the speculation. She told Politico, I don't run for second. So, we'll see how this plays out. But I don't know. When you have people like, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, when you have people like her who would do a terrific job, she would fill that requirement that the vice president be female. And she also fills a very important, I'll go so far as to say vitally important requirement that the vice president be equally as conservative as Donald Trump. And right now, my favorite, my personal favorite as a VP pick would be Kristi Noem of South Dakota. She's awesome. A video going viral on social media shows a Delta Airlines employee refusing to back down to a transgender actor who was complaining about being misgendered. I love stuff like this because this is what we need to do. When these people get into our face, we just need to say, no, I'm not going to play your game. Tommy Dorfman, never heard of this guy, but he's a biological male actor who identifies as female, and he posted the interaction that reportedly occurred at New York's LaGuardia Airport over there in Queens. Now, Dorfman was waiting to board a flight to his hometown of Atlanta, GA, 3 days before Christmas. And I'm going to run the audio here in a second. The actor complained that a female Delta employee referred to him by male pronouns and began complaining to the male employee behind the counter. And it starts off where Dorfman says, what about when a Delta employee misgenders you intentionally? And the Delta employee says, while he's talking, you're talking. That's where we pick things up. The first voice you hear is this guy Dorfman.
And what about when a Delta employee misgenders you intentionally?
While he's talking, you're talking.
You just misgendered me again.
Okay.
Multiple times.
Gotcha.
Both of you have.
Sorry. Wasn't intentional, but if you want to take it personal, that's also...
Well, she did do it intentionally twice.
Gotcha. You're talking to me, too.
You said she and then you said he.
You're being condescending, and if you want to continue, I have full authority escort you out the building right this moment if you want to play that game with me.
Okay.
Would you like to continue 3 days before Christmas? I really don't mind.
I'm good. I'll just put this on.
So naturally, since this thing went viral, thank God, we had people like Charlie Kirk chime in on X saying this is how every pronoun tyrant should be handled. Politely but firmly, make it clear their demands and their rudeness will not be tolerated. Yeah. Amaral King tweeted or X'd. An entitled LGBTQ pronoun warrior meets a Delta employee that ain't effing having it. Olivia Rondeau, X'd. We obviously don't know the race of the person recording, but based off of the voice, I'll just say this. White queer people are quickly finding out that black people don't care about affirming your gender. That man just wants to do his job, and you're antagonizing him. Amen. Amen. Vernon Jones, who's a representative from Georgia, black man, he says, this is going too far. There are only two genders. Enough of people trying to brainwash people to recalibrate their minds of given facts. And it's not hate. It's science. Proud of this, a Delta employee for standing his ground and not caving in to privileged folks from the LGBTQ camp. Yes, Vernon Jones. I like him. By the way, Vernon Jones is a Republican, black conservative. Good man. And hip-hop thinker, X'd, this is the path forward for those who remain sane. And Redux Magazine said that trans activists are calling for a boycott of Delta Airlines now after this incident. The way they put it, let me quote them. Trans activists are calling for a boycott of Delta Airlines after a transgender actor complained about being misgendered by two Delta employees at LaGuardia Airport. Tommy Dorfman, who starred in 13 Reasons Why... never heard of it, uploaded a video of the interaction to his TikTok. You know, I love this when the when they try to push the star factor, Tommy Dorfman. Okay, some people know who he is. I have no clue. Why is Tommy Dorfman important? To me, he's not. This is the first time I've heard this bozo's name. And starred in 13 Reasons. What the hell is 13 Reasons? Never heard of that show. You know, this is what happens when you get people who are in a certain profession and they take themselves far too seriously. So, anyhow, I did get a picture of Tommy Dorfman, and he is white. So, yeah, this characterization of him being an LGBTQ white spoiled brat is probably pretty accurate. So, the way Newsweek magazine reported it, they said the Anti-Defamation League states that because names and pronouns are two ways people refer to themselves and others, both are personal and important. They also are key facets of our identity. But then again, remember, this is the Anti-Defamation League, and they've been way off base on more than a few occasions. They consider themselves to be an anti-hate organization. And they said on their website, therefore, calling someone by the wrong name or misgendering them by using incorrect pronouns can feel disrespectful, harmful, and potentially unsafe. Really? Well, what about when you attack me because I very innocently misgendered you? You look like a male. I refer to you as such. And then you come back and you tell me that I'm misgendering you? Go to hell. To the Comedy Corner now with Kevin Fitzgerald. Very funny guy.
Well, it's so nice to be here. I'm nervous about tonight. And I'm sad, kind of. Because when I was walking in here tonight, there were a lot of beautiful young women out front smoking cigarettes. And it made me sad because I used to be a beautiful young woman. And look what cigarettes did to me. So cut it out. Don't do that. I didn't know exactly where the place was. I couldn't find it. I was walking up and down center. I saw another guy walking. I go, how do I get to the dry bar? And he goes, from here? No, from your house. How do I go back to your house and find the place? Well, it's nice to be here. Anybody on a first date? No? How about a last date? I guess only one of you would know. Nice to be back in Utah, where everybody drives like the other person's a potential organ donor. You drive so fast, dude. People drive fast. I live in Denver. I'm a veterinarian there. I gave some lectures in Seattle this week. And you come down over the mountains, you're looking down, coming into Denver. Still a lot of snow up there. Think about my father died 15 years ago Friday. He was an ice fisherman. Ice fishing. How much do you have to hate your old lady to go ice fishing? How much do you have to hate your wife to sit with your bottom right on the ice? Are you kidding? And how dumb must the fish be? I mean, if the ceiling opened up right now and a pot pie came down, wouldn't you be at all suspicious? And, honey, did we order a pizza? Oh, what a nice crowd. It's nice to be here. I'm a veterinarian in Denver. And because of the law change, we're seeing one marijuana dog a day. The poor things, they eat the edibles. They eat the cookies and the brownies. You know, and it's sad. I mean, the half-life for a person, 26 hours. Half-life for a dog, 96 hours. You can put them in any position, like Gumby. You know, they're just the poor things. I don't even know what I think about marijuana. I'm Irish. I mean, if we were discovered marijuana before we discovered whiskey, well... I tell you, Irish dance can be very different. You know, we might even use our hands. You know? It's nice to be here. The Cat Care Society in Denver caught on fire this week, but no animals were hurt. A bunch of veterinarians, we all got over there and helped, got them all out of there. No burns or smoke inhalation. But the next day in the paper, the fire marshal said he believed that the fire at the Cat Care Society had been caused by mice chewing electrical wiring. You can't even make that up. You can't even write stuff like that.
That's it. Make it a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.